You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy But Human podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I am so excited you are here today listening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to the podcast, my gorgeous queen, and welcome to the Healthy But Human fam. I am so excited you are here today for today's solo episode, a little solo episode for you. Today's episode is a very big one because I am going to be sharing my testimony with you guys on the podcast today. I haven't shared my testimony in a year. I thought it was time to do a little updated testimony and really share with you guys the realness of how I got into my faith, who I was before, who I am now, things I'm currently walking through, all the things. My goal with this episode is to inspire you, to motivate you, to help you feel like you're less alone in this journey we call life, and to know that you're here for a beautiful reason and that God will use any dark moments that have been in your life or currently you're walking through and will turn it into something beautiful. So that being said, we're going to get into the topic in just a second. But before we do, we always start off the show with a little self-check-in. So take this time to just ground yourself. Maybe your day's been busy. Maybe you've been feeling just constantly like you've been doing something. This is a time to just take a little moment. So wherever you are, take a nice deep inhale through your nose, growing nice and tall with your breath. And then exhale, sighing out, letting go of anything that's not serving you. Just release it, let it go. All right. Whew. Now, ask yourself, how do I feel today on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being I feel amazing, 1 being we're not doing too hot today. And now ask yourself, why do I feel like this? Maybe something happened, maybe nothing happened. Just getting real with yourself, finding the root cause. And now I want you to ask yourself, what is one thing that I can do today to increase/improve my day by 1%? Maybe it's listening to the podcast. Maybe it's taking a phone-free day. Maybe it's going on a walk outside, doing a little Pilates workout. Whatever it is, just think about it. And now, next question is, what is something I can do today to serve others well? Maybe it's text a friend, an encouraging text. Maybe it's help someone who's in need. Could be anything. Okay, next question. Have I hydrated in the past 30 minutes? You know the drill. Whether you have or you haven't, let's all grab our waters and hydrate our hot bods in 3, 2, 1. Cheers. All right. Next question is, I want you to ask yourself, where do I see myself in 5 years? Obviously, we can't predict the future. That we can't be like, this is going to happen in 5 years to a T. But what version of you do you aspire to become in 5 years? And now I want you to take a moment to forgive yourself for anything that's happened in your day, anything that's happened in your past. And if you haven't already repented of it, I encourage you to repent of it, get before the Lord, ask for forgiveness for your whatever you did. And then make sure you forgive yourself as well. I didn't realize that it is important to forgive ourselves, to free ourselves of judgment, free ourselves of any lies we're believing about it. So can even just say out loud, I forgive myself for X, Y, Z, and I renounce all judgments I have placed upon myself in this area. Beautiful. Okay. And if you're not sure how to forgive, I have a really good episode with my friend Scarlett Stearns. We recorded it a couple weeks ago. It's out. It's so fire. We talk a lot about forgiveness. If you're like, I still feel like I'm not forgiving fully, this episode is so, so good. So definitely go check it out if you haven't already. But moving on a little bit, life updates. I feel like I haven't done a life update. I guess I maybe did last week. But anyways, I feel like this past week has just been very, very busy. Just like a lot of little things adding up. Not bad things, just like a lot of good things. But I've definitely been a lot of busy with teaching the in-person Pilates events every Saturday, prepping for that. And I'm working on some other really fun projects right now that I am so pumped about. Also, a little side note is I got more of our Loved Beyond Measure merch. I picked it up last week and it's now up on the website. So if you want to grab that merch, if you didn't already snag it, it's this cute little pink hoodie that has scripture on the sleeves, I love you on the sleeves, and has a really just, it's Loved Beyond Measure. It's super, super cute. So if you haven't already, go check that out. That was something else I did last week, was just pick that up. And last week was a blur. I'm like, what even happened last week? This past weekend, we'll do a little past weekend recap because I feel like I haven't even been that active on socials. Like, I was thinking about this today, how I haven't really posted on Instagram stories in about a week, and I feel like it just has flown by. But honestly, I get sometimes in these phases where I'm so caught up in the present moment and just getting what's in front of me completed that I sometimes forget to like check in with the online community and post things on stories and all this stuff. So I need to work on that and get a little bit better about it. But that being said, I think this past weekend was a really, really fun special time. On Saturday, my beach Pilates class actually got rained out, so I moved it to a different location, an indoor location, and it was such a blast. We used really cute pink Bala Pilates equipment for the class. And I just love these classes. They bring me so much life. They're Pilates and praise. So we blend worship music with Pilates and scriptural affirmations, just bringing that faith element to fitness. And it has been so beautiful doing in-person classes. I was truly so nervous to start these up because I didn't know if anyone was going to even join them. But straight up, the Lord is so faithful. When He calls you to something, He is going to absolutely bless the obedience and bless it. And I just have felt so blessed doing these events and classes. I feel like the community that is building is just so beautiful and so exciting. And He is working. So that's been a really awesome thing. That's been every Saturday. And then after that is I'll teach a virtual Pilates class right after, like an hour after that class. And you guys, Saturday has been a very busy day, but they're so much fun. I'm obsessed with them. So I started off with this two classes in the morning, and then I've been doing I did a little work after that on our newsletter, everything, all the things for that. And then I went to the beach with some friends. I actually went surfing. I haven't surfed I tried surfing maybe around like 8 or 9 weeks pregnant. I wasn't sure how I felt about it just because I know there is like a lot of controversy about surfing safe in pregnancy, all these things. So I actually ended up going surfing and I just kind of wanted to like hang out in the water with my friends. I ended up catching a couple waves. They were really small waves and it was so much fun and I felt pretty good doing that. So I'm just listening to my body in the whole pregnancy thing. And speaking of pregnancy, if anyone listening is pregnant or has been pregnant, something that's been very interesting to me is how quick people are to share their horror stories or share their opinions on things and speak not so life-giving things over you. It's been very interesting. So my encouragement to you if you are pregnant is when someone is sharing, let's say someone does end up sharing a story, like a horror story that happened to them, or their baby doesn't do XYZ and it's making them exhausted, whatever it is. Listen to it, but you don't have to receive it or accept it. I am learning that. Like when someone speaks things to you, or over you, like this always happens to people when they have newborns, or this always happens for whatever the situation is. We don't have to accept those things. We can listen, we can work on not judging that person, but simply just listening to them, being there for them, being their friend, but we don't have to accept that over our own life. And I'm working on that a lot. And that is something that is really interesting with pregnancies, how quick people are to share their opinion on things. So that's my little learning take for pregnancy lately. And that goes for activities that are safe, foods that are safe, best things to do. I think pregnancy is one of those things where I'm genuinely doing my best to just do the research myself, let the Lord ultimately guide me in decisions that I make. If I feel uneasy about something, or I feel like deep down, like in my spirit, this is not the best thing to do, that's my ultimate guidance. I don't want fear to guide me in pregnancy or in anything in life. And fear so often can, if we don't take those thoughts captive or take that fear captive. So that's something that I'm currently working on a lot in my life. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it at all. I'm really, truly still working on it. In fact, I had a little mental breakdown before recording this because honestly, I was letting fear control me around transferring money or opening new bank accounts, whatever. I was having a whole thing happen with that. It was very overwhelming, very, just felt like nothing was working. And I got very frustrated and stressed. And that is when I realized fear was controlling my emotions and was controlling me, when in general, the Lord has control of our lives and He is not going to let us fail. So sometimes when all the doors are not opening, that could mean that the thing is not right for us. Anyways, that is some of the learning things I have been experiencing recently. It's been a big season of learning. And I think I've also realized, like, I never will stop learning. Like, I'm never going to become this person that can't learn more. And that's what's so fun and exciting about life, is we always are growing and learning new things, entering new chapters into our life. And it's just been so cool and so beautiful. But anyways, after I went surfing, I was absolutely wiped out. I was so tired. I was like, wow, this has been a physical day. But it was so fun because me and my friends went over to John and I, our house, and we ended up getting some wings and ate wings, hung out, and then all had a little game night. So wholesome and fun. Definitely recommend. Very fun activity on the weekend in your 20s. I loved it. Then we all got so tired, honestly, 10 p.m., living that coastal grandma lifestyle. And I went to sleep. I slept for, I think, 10 hours and then woke up, went to church, literally got home so tired. Oh no, John and I went to a farmer's market after church, which was so much fun. We got some hummus, some pita bread. We got lots of, the empanadas we got were so good. I love empanadas. Literally my fave. Got empanadas, saw some cute animals at the farm, and then we went back home and took a 3-hour nap. I've been taking long naps on Sundays lately, and I have been obsessed. 10 out of 10 recommend a nice Sunday rest day, best day. And then after that, we went and got a ton of fruit, some exotic fruits from the grocery store, and made a fruit charcuterie board. And it was so fun. We definitely splurged on it. We looked at ourselves and we're like, this may not be a everyday activity or an activity for a while, but it was so much fun. We tried lots of new fruits. I tried a sumo citrus fruit, and we got a mame fruit, but I don't think it was ripe, so we did not eat that yesterday. But we did that and then ended up hanging out a little bit more and then went to sleep. And that was our weekend. But it was so fun. And just weekends like these have been my fave. I love a little Saturday social day and then a Sunday chill day. I'm obsessed. So that's been the weekend. But otherwise, other updates, I have a really fun April challenge coming your way for Sweaty Studio. I'll link that below. Not the challenge, because you can't join that quite yet, but I'll link my studio below if you want to get a little 14-day free trial. Check it out, try it out. It is Pilates blended with affirmations to help you feel amazing inside and out. So I'll link that below for you to check out. On that note, let's get into this episode. I don't want it to be too long for you, But let's get into our little testimony. You may have heard me talk about this before, but something I've been prioritizing in 2024 is taking small actions each day to improve at least 1% in my physical, mental, and spiritual health. One of those daily healthy habits I've been loving is taking care of my gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. I first started taking Seed way back in 2019 when I was having all sorts of painful gastrointestinal issues and was getting no answers from my doctor. During this time, I dove into the world of holistic health and learned how important a healthy gut microbiome is for the rest of the body to thrive and feel amazing. So I started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and experienced significant ease in my bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. One of the many things I love about Seed is how easy it is to fit Seed into my daily routine. No refrigeration is needed, and the free travel vial from the welcome kit allows you to take DS01 on the go, which we love, especially with summer travels right around the corner. As you know, I'm currently pregnant and I'm super cautious about what different things I'm putting into my body, so I definitely feel reassured taking DS01 over other probiotics because of their rigorous scientific testing and 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25 Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali, code 25 Cali.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And I'm going to just start by honestly praying us into this. I don't think I've ever done that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone listening to the podcast. I pray you'd bless every single one of them right now. I pray you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on us and help us all just feel your love. And help us encounter you in a beautiful way, Lord. I pray you just speak to the people listening in a way that really truly resonates with them. And I pray that you would just remove any shame and guilt of the past and allow us to just walk in the freedom that you've promised us, Lord. So I pray if there's anyone walking in that guilt and shame still, I pray you reveal the lies that the enemy is trying to hold them in that bondage, Lord. I pray you show them where they're believing lies in their life. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get into it. Little testimony. So I was thinking this episode would be really beautiful because it's Easter weekend, this coming weekend, if you're listening when this drops. And I mean, Easter is all about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and giving us this new promised freedom in him. And I thought it would be beautiful to just share who I used to be and then share who he has redeemed me into and really give you a glimpse of the life that I walk in now. And I'm not going to sit there and pretend that my life is perfect or rainbows and sunshine all the time. But I will say that I have this newfound peace that and joy that just is a constant as long as I'm walking in the Spirit. Like earlier when I was not walking in the Spirit, I was anxious and upset. But when I really press into the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given us through Jesus dying on the cross, that is when I feel this overwhelming abundance of peace and joy and just supernatural bliss, honestly, and closeness to the Lord. So whether or not you're a Christian, this episode is open to everyone, obviously, to listen to, and I hope it inspires you in some way. Okay, so let's start with square one. Whew, taking it way back. So I grew up a Christian when I was, my whole life. I lived in a lot of different places, started in Texas, was born in Texas, moved to Canada for 8-ish, 9 years, moved from Canada to Texas for 5-ish more years, moved from Houston to Pittsburgh for a year, went to college in Miami, Florida for 4 years, lived in Miami for a year after, moved to New York for 5 months, moved from New York to nowhere. I was nomadic for a month, and then moved to where I live now, which is in Stuart, South Florida, if you know where that is. So I've moved a lot. Why did I tell you that? I don't know. But point being is that I grew up in a family that we moved a lot. And I'm going to be honest, moving was really hard. It was not this easy thing on any of us. And when I was in, honestly, up until probably early sophomore year of high school, I was so close to the Lord. So close. And I accepted Jesus when I was 8 years old. I was in Canada at the time. I remember it so clearly. I remember I was in my bed and I just invited Jesus into my heart and I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I was just like, my whole body was tingly. It was so, so cool. And after that, as a kid, was always very in touch, I guess, with, very spiritual, I guess is the word. Anyways, I just always felt very close to the Lord. I just knew that he was real. I knew that he was there. I had that experience with the Holy Spirit at such a young age, and I loved him so, so much. Not to mention, and I don't want to put a lot of emphasis on this to give the enemy any power or glory at all, but the house I lived in Canada, one of the houses, was haunted. And as a kid, I saw ghosts. My whole family saw ghosts, and I could really distinguish. So when I saw the ghosts, I'd feel very dark and scared and heavy, that heaviness. And then when I experienced the Holy Spirit and experienced church and Jesus, I felt so much lightness. So I was very in tune with dark and light energy as a little kid. Anyways, we actually ended up praying over the house. And when we prayed over the house is when everything stopped. All of the haunting, all of the ghosts, all of that went away. So from a young age, I was very aware there is a supernatural realm. There's more than what we see in front of us. And I think that was honestly an element that I've held on to for my entire life. But I will say that as we went to Houston and I got involved in all the things that, middle schoolers start to care about image, start to care about being popular, all the things, I was still close to God. I was definitely the kid that maybe was considered to be weirdly Christian or whatever. I loved Jesus so much as a kid, so much. You don't understand. But then maybe you do understand. But then when I hit freshman year of high school, I got my first boyfriend. My first boyfriend was not a Christian. I don't think he believed in God at all. I think he was an atheist. So this is my first boyfriend. And let me just backtrack slightly. In middle school, I was not the cool kid, by no means. I think I had maybe 2 friends. So I moved from Canada, which was at the time, I don't know if it's still like this, it was very much not materialistic where I lived. So as a kid, I didn't know anything about designer brands. I didn't understand that John Hart bags, Vera Bradley, all these things were big deals. I was so just a kid. I loved being outside. I loved playing with my friends, all the things. So when I moved to Houston, the school I went to was this private Christian school, and a lot of the kids came from very wealthy families, and as a result, there was a lot of designer bags, designer shoes, designer clothes. And I did not know what any of that was. These kids had grown up together since preschool. And so I get there from Canada, a little bit, not sure what I'm doing. And I didn't have a lot of friends. I definitely was a bit of the weird kid, I guess you could say. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to fit in. And I just didn't. So then as I enter high school, I go to a new high school. It's still a Christian high school. And it was honestly an incredible school. I met some amazing friends. I had a little friend group. It was great. But then I got caught up in boys. And this is a huge part of my testimony, is my relationship with men. So when I got into my first relationship, like I said, the guy wasn't Christian. And you could say I started to really idolize my first boyfriend. I wanted him to like me. I wanted him to want to be with me. I wanted to do anything ever to get him to stay with me. And especially if, I mean, if you're out of high school or you're in high school, I mean, a lot of the guys just like, I mean, he wasn't that mature. Like he was very different. Not saying I was mature, but I'm just saying that he was very much not interested in being, his eyes were swayed. He wanted to be with other girls, all these things. You know, the high school relationship where you break up, you make up, it was that. We would break up for like a day and make up and then break up and make up, all these things. So anyways, during this time is when I had my first kiss at, I think I was 15 years old. And then things started moving quickly. I had told myself I would wait and save myself till marriage. That was really important to me. I was very much committed to that. It was like super important to me. And I'm not going to pretend to be a victim in this situation, but I will say that this guy had more experience than me in terms of, I guess, sexual things. And like I said, I wanted to make him happy. I wanted him to stay with me. I wanted to be liked. I just wanted to be accepted. And so I did things that I did not think I would do. I ended up losing my virginity to this person, and I ended up, that just made everything even more blurry. I look back, I'm like, girl, why was I with him? But I truly, truly think it clouded my judgment. I was very then at this point, literally soul tied to him. And I was like, this is going to be the person I marry, all this stuff. And so we dated for probably, I think that was like 2 years. Yeah, we dated for 2 years. And then during this 2 year span is when my relationship with God started to get wonky. Like I said, lost my virginity, did things I never thought I would do so early at a young age. The church I was going to at the time, I had this leader who, looking back, I have forgiven her. I know she meant well, but when you're walking in sin, when you're living in sin, and it's a sin that, I mean, in general, walking in sin, like it, the enemy likes to place a lot of shame and guilt on us when we're walking in that. And so for me, I was going to church and she would be talking about, hey, don't have sex before marriage. Hey, don't do this. And I genuinely, as someone who definitely was feeling convicted about what I was doing, I took it as, Callie, you're not good enough to be a Christian anymore. God doesn't love you because you're doing that. Even though she was not saying that to me, but I heard it that way. I took it that way. And that's where the enemy will start to whisper in our ears. And it's up to us to discern that voice and be like, that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord's character. God doesn't turn his back on me just because I'm making a mistake and messing up. That's not how God is. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that he could have a relationship with us, knowing that we're going to mess up, knowing that we're not perfect. So during this time is when I fell away from the church. I started to feel like an imposter going to church. I felt like I was the only person who was doing these things at such a young age. I felt like no one else understood. And so I simply turned my back on church. I started to turn my back slowly but surely on God. And I deeply started to feel as though God didn't love me. And he rejected me because I was not being a perfect, quote unquote, Christian. And so I think there's a lot of people who feel like that from purity culture. And that is something that I have had to work through, is because purity culture definitely did have a damaging effect on my walk with the Lord. And I think it is important, if you're like, I'm really resonating with this and I definitely felt this. If you're listening and you did not wait till marriage, I want you to know that God still, he still loves you. And that shame that you're feeling, that guilt that you're feeling, that's not from the Lord. Maybe you're feeling conviction, but that's different. That's God wanting to lead us in a path that's going to bring us life, not death. And when that was happening for me, like when I felt the shame and the guilt, I thought God was turning his back on me and that I couldn't have that relationship with him anymore because I'd messed up. I'd gone too far, whatever it was that the church was saying. Maybe not the church was saying, but how I was interpreting what people were saying at my church. So fast forward, I moved to Pittsburgh for a year, and I want to just talk about really fast. During this whole time, I was also a competitive figure skater. I started figure skating when I was 8 years old. I've been on the ice since I was 2 years old. It was a huge, 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 huge part of my life. Such a big part of my life, in fact, that it was my everything at the time, literally my everything. And I wanted to go to the Olympics. I thought I was going to go and win gold. I would train so many hours a day. I would give up being social because I wanted to go skating super early in the morning on Saturday. Not that I was really getting invited to things, but point being is that I lived, breathed, trained figure skating. And this is a whole other part of my testimony that I think I've maybe talked about a little bit, but body image struggles is something that started to happen a lot during high school. And if you have ever done a sport that's artistic, like dance, gymnastics, figure skating, you probably, I hope you haven't had this happen, but you may have had coaches who would put a lot of pressure on you to not gain weight, to make sure you looked a certain way, weighed a certain amount so that you could perform the best. And as a kid, that can have a damaging effect. So I moved to Pittsburgh. And at the time, at this point, and I left out a whole chunk of the story, reason why I moved to Pittsburgh is because my freshman year of high school, my dad lost his job. And I remember my mom in the car with me, we're driving home from figure skating practice. And she says to me, she's like, hey, like, she tells me what happened, and I'm like, okay. She's like, we're gonna need to cut back on skating. And I remember throwing a whole fit because I didn't know how expensive skating was, all this stuff. And it was like really, really upsetting to me, because in skating you kind of have to be all in or else you're not. So in this car ride, she's like, you're not gonna go to the Olympics. And I just remember being absolutely crushed, absolutely devastated. I just felt like every single part of me who I was in that moment just was like shattered. And looking back, like, I get it. But as a kid, I didn't really understand. So anyway, so that happened. And I was very much like, okay, this whole part of my life is getting removed. And then I ended up having to switch schools to a public school the next year for sophomore year, because the school I was going to was too expensive for my family because my dad lost his job. And then from there, we moved to Pittsburgh because my dad got a new job in Pittsburgh, which moved us again. So as a kid, there was just there's a lot going on there, right? A lot to unpack. But I definitely, in this season of life, felt like who I was shattered, because I had placed my identity in figure skating. I had placed my identity in my boyfriend. I had placed my identity in my friends, in my social life, in everything I was doing is who I put my identity in. But I wasn't putting my identity in God, because I, at this point in time, I didn't really have a relationship with him anymore. I was mad at God. I was mad at my parents. I was mad at so many things. So I carried this anger with me as I moved to Pittsburgh. I was so angry at my family. It was unbelievable. And it turned into this just rebellion. So now we enter rebellion Cali phase. And this is when I was a junior in high school. I got involved with the very wrong crowd at the very start of moving to Pittsburgh. I was doing cheer, so I was trying new sports because I wasn't skating like I used to. And I loved cheer. I thought it was so much fun. Anyways, through cheer, I ended up meeting this girl. Through this girl, I ended up meeting these two guys. These two guys were not good news, not good influences on my life at all. They liked to party, they liked to drink, they liked to smoke, all the things. They liked to have sex with random people, whatever. Anyways, I get involved in the crowd, and before I know it, I am spending my nights the summer leading up to junior year, got drunk for the first time, fell, hit my head against a ping pong table, end up getting in a little situationship with this guy who's bad news. Oh, also left out a chunk of the story, broke up with my boyfriend who I dated for 2 years. So I'm just like, we're making a lot of big changes really fast. And I'm lying to my parents about where I am. I'm drunk driving. I'm trying to sneak around, not get caught because my parents didn't approve of any of that stuff. And before you know it, I am just in the thick of lies. I am chronically lying. I am a totally different person than my parents think I am. And I'm simply rebelling. So that didn't last for too long because by New Year's time, the web of lies I had weaved myself into were exposed. And I'm very much not proud of this moment. I was the DD, quote DD, for New Year's, and I drove my friends to the party. I ended up getting drunk. I did not know anything about alcohol or anything. I was very much not in that. I didn't know anything going into it and thought that I could sober up by drinking water. So I ended up trying to sober up by drinking water. Obviously, that doesn't work. That's not how alcohol works. And I ended up driving my friends home while I was still drunk, convinced myself I wasn't drunk, convinced myself I was sober, made a lot of decisions that night that were not wise. And then I ended up getting home. I, praise the Lord, I got home safely. If anyone knows Pittsburgh roads, one, they're steep, windy, dark. Praise the Lord, I didn't get in a car accident, kill anyone. Praise the Lord, I didn't kill myself in the process. Literally, the Lord was looking out for me, and I'm so happy this night happened because I get home, I quietly slip into my house, try and go to bed without making a ruckus, end up throwing up on the floor, and my walls in my house are like paper thin, so you can hear everything. My mom comes in, figures out I'm drunk. She thinks I'm on drugs. She takes my phone, reads everything, finds out everything. And before I know it, my life is completely different forever. My parents no longer think I'm this little angel. I'm caught in my web of lies. They know everything, everything I've ever done, just everything. And I feel so exposed, so ashamed. I feel like I want to simply die. Literally, I felt a lot of suicidal thoughts in this period of life. I was so depressed. I hated who I was. I didn't even know who I was anymore. And I put all my identity in this party lifestyle and once again in boys and trying to get people to like me and trying to be popular and at the expense of making decisions that I praise the Lord did not turn out worse because they could have and I could be in a very different place than I am now. But the Lord redeems and I was grounded for a little bit. I went to a therapist. Definitely was a very damaging period of my life. My relationship with my family was terrible. And I just got through it. Simply, I just got through it. Once that period was over, I honestly did not get that much better. I mean, I definitely stopped drinking and driving, but doing other things, sneaking around with boys, that still happened because I was still trying to find my identity in relationships. I would hop around from one relationship to the next with guys that I literally met in the forest at a forest party. Yes. Told my parents I met him at the I think it was at the library. I told him I was lying constantly. Anyways, making unwise choices. So fast forward, I end up just, on top of this whole thing, And this isn't a pity party for Callie. I just want to give you guys the full picture of what I was doing in my life. The cherry on top of it all is that the guys that we hung out with, that were the not so great guys, I rejected one of them. I didn't want to have sex with him. And after that happened, they just started harassing me nonstop. Like, they would yell if they saw me driving by, they'd be like, F you, Callie. They threatened to post things on the student page about me. They would yell things, disgusting sexual things at me when I was cheerleading. It was truly like a movie. I cannot even explain it. And then there was someone else. There were other people that were bullying me. It was just a nightmare at this high school. Like, if you have high school problems and drama, I feel you. I have been there and it is terrible, but you will get through it. I promise. So I end up graduating early. My dad, we thought we were going to move again for a job, and I was just over it. I've been to 3 high schools in 3 years. I genuinely hated my high school, and I just wanted to leave. And so I ended up graduating early. I ended up, praise the Lord, got into University of Miami. Don't know how, but I did. And then I went to Miami for college. And like, once again, wish I could say my whole life changed overnight. It did not. But I will say the bullying got a lot better. So I leave Pittsburgh, I go to Miami, and I am still making party girl decisions. I'm not walking in my faith at all at this point. I don't know. The last time I went to church was, I dated some guy for 2 weeks who was Christian. That was probably the last time I went to church at that point. It was my junior year of high school, because I was just trying to make him happy. Whatever. Anyways. Moving on. I end up going to college, and I did not get much better in terms of the partying. I partied 2 weeks straight. My eyes turned bloodshot red because I was so tired. And I was in the thick of the party girl lifestyle. I got into a relationship pretty much month one into college. And once I got into the relationship, the partying chilled out a little bit. But then once again, the person I was dating became my everything. I lost my friends because I was with him constantly. I struggled a ton with body image still. And I kind of left out the whole body image part in Pittsburgh. But basically in Pittsburgh, I had a coach tell me I had to lose weight if I wanted to compete anymore. Anyways, that whole time was damaging. I was doing fad diets. I was face-tuning my photos. I did not like how I looked, whatever. So this is just slowly progressing, like the body image stuff. Going to school in Miami, it was very intimidating. A lot of the girls looked picture perfect, had the perfect body, quote unquote perfect body, were bleach blonde, all the things. And I felt very much intimidated. And so when I got there, I was just going to the gym every day, trying different fad diets, trying to lose weight, trying to look a certain way, all the things. And I think that definitely did not improve as I got into this new relationship, because once again, wanted to keep the guy happy. You might start to notice a pattern in my lifestyle. I put a lot of identity in making others happy and getting people's approval and getting people to like me. And I just didn't even know who I was at this point. There was nothing to even define me in my life. So, because everything that I was putting my identity in could change in a split second, and it did. So fast forward, the college season was a lot, highs and lows. I had good times, not so great times. I got into teaching fitness. I started my blog. I had some really awesome highlights and moments in college. I started to kind of figure things out from a worldly perspective. But I will say that I consistently felt this unfulfillment that it wouldn't leave. And it just kind of sat there, unfulfillment. Even though I started to build my life, I started to have this serious relationship. I definitely pulled away from the party lifestyle for a bit. I was taking care of my health. I thought I looked great. I was becoming a better fitness instructor, started the blog, all the things. And then I had a breakup. Had the breakup, went back into the cycle of partying again, sleeping around, making all these choices. And then I got back into the relationship, building the life again, happened. And then 2 years later, had a breakup again, and everything went completely downhill from there. So this version of me that I was building in college, I continued to build the business, I continued to teach fitness, I continued to do all the things. But once I got out of this serious four-year relationship, I tanked. I went wild. I started taking stimulants. I was working a full-time job. I graduated college. I could not focus on my job, and I convinced myself I needed to take Adderall in order to keep my job in focus. When I started doing this is when I also started to develop an eating disorder. And I'm not going to focus a lot on that at all. So if you struggle with eating disorder or get triggered by it, just a little trigger warning there, I guess. But I'm not going to go into depth about that. Started developing that as well. Would party a lot, was on dating apps, was sleeping around, dating people, doing the whole shebang again. And this point in time is when I started to struggle deeply with depression and anxiety again. I don't think I'd had this anxiety and depression since junior year of high school to this level, but it hit me like a brick. Honestly, all the choices I was making, I think slowly eased that to happen, but it was to the point where I'd have panic attacks, breakdowns on the daily. I'd be on the floor bawling my eyes out. I was also walking deeply in the spirituality astrology world as well, so I started dabbling in that when I was a senior in college. And I honestly liked it at the time, but it was interesting to me because even though I was doing all this stuff, I had quote unquote manifested the dream apartment, manifested the dream dog, job, was becoming famous on social media, all this stuff, starting to make money. I was truly like the worst version of myself I had been in a very long time. And I was so unfulfilled. I felt so empty inside. And it just was not it. So anyways, during this period of time is when I start dating my now husband, John. Believe it or not, during one of my lowest points is when I started dating my husband, which is so wild how God redeems and he works everything for good, truly. John was also, I'm not going to share his testimony for him, but John was also walking in a not so high point of his life at the time as well when we reconnected. And it was really beautiful because God used our relationship and where we were at. He gave us, basically, he allowed, so John was like my accountability buddy and I was like his accountability buddy. And through our relationship, both of us grew so, so much and became such better versions of ourselves in all areas of life. But let me not get ahead of myself. When it all started, the up and up, is when John was visiting me in Miami. He was living in New York City at the time. John and I actually knew each other from high school. So if you're like, how do you guys know each other? Like, what? How'd you meet? That's a whole other story. But we'd known each other since we were in high school. I'd known him since I was 15. But we never dated. So anyways, we reconnect, start dating, and he comes to visit me in Miami. So around this time, I was teaching IRL classes with Free People Movement, and one of my friends, Chanel, came to that class, and we were very like freshly new friends. John was also at that class. Chanel invites me to go to her church, VU, on that weekend, and I genuinely cannot tell you why I said yes to this, but I guess I was just like, huh, okay. And then my other friend, Rachel, who did not know Chanel, invited me that same weekend when we were on a little run together to also go to VU the same weekend. And let me just quickly preface, like add something in here. John was a Christian as well. So he went to the same church I did and went to the same high school I did in Texas. And I knew he was a Christian, but we both were honestly not really walking in our faith at all. Like I said, I was literally in astrology and spirituality and I was worshiping crystals, whatever. Anyways, I knew he was a Christian though. And this is a little toxic-ish, but I think part of me was also open to going to church because I knew that he believed in God. And like I said before, I wanted to make the guys happy and have them accept me. So I think part of me was like, yeah, I want to go to church partially because of that, But this is where God redeems things. Even if my heart posture and motive was not in the best place in the world, when I went to this church with John, the sermon was like everything the pastor said. It was just resonating so deeply to me. It was one of those moments where I literally was like, does he know what's happening in my life right now? I feel like he's talking to me right now. Like, this is crazy. And that is what launched me headfirst into my faith journey again. I was also reading a devotional by Sadie Robertson called Live on Purpose that I saw on social media. One of my friends posted it and I was like, oh, it's all about fear and anxiety. I'm struggling with that. Like, let's get it. So I started reading that. I slowly but surely started to get back into my faith. I'd listened to little sermons on Spotify. I was doing my devotional. And slowly but surely, I fell in love with Jesus again. And I got out of astrology. I got out of astrology when I realized that the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord is so much greater than any other spiritual power on this earth. Yes, that stuff is real. It is real, but it is not as powerful as God. And I have experienced the power of both. And I can tell you for a fact that God's power is so much stronger. He fulfills us. He completes us. He gives us everything we need. We're putting our faith in things that change, in things that are just rocks and not really just things that aren't the Lord. Like, it just it's not going to give you that same fulfillment. And I don't want to put any shame on anyone if you're listening and you do that stuff, because I did that stuff too. But I just want to tell you from a firsthand experience, like, the power of God, there's nothing like it. And it's so cool when you experience the Holy Spirit for the first time. And so I'm getting into this relationship with God, and it doesn't make my life perfect overnight, by no means at all. Like, I was still in Party Girl Cali era. I would go clubbing in New York City. I was still taking stimulants, definitely not making decisions that were the best. Like, John and I mean, we were still like having sex, all the things, and I was living by the world. But I will say that the Lord, it's so beautiful how our relationship with him works, because he knew where I was in my life and he met me right where I was, and he helped me get out of the hole I was in over, like, slowly. And he did it in a pace that I could handle. It wasn't like, Callie, you need to stop every single thing you're doing in order to follow me right now. It was like, Callie, like, we're going to work through all this stuff together. Like, I'm going to get you out of this where you're going to have freedom in me. And so by June, I moved from Miami to New York. I ended up moving in with John. And this phase of my life, I was going to church again regularly. Went to Church of the City. If you live in New York City, it's such a good church. I was getting a little bit better. At this time, I'd stopped drinking alcohol entirely. Not saying if you're Christian or anything, you need to stop drinking. But I will say that I realized I had a really unhealthy relationship with alcohol, and it wasn't helping me at all when I'd go out. I started to realize I was struggling with social anxiety, all this stuff. So I'm on a lot of different journeys at this point in my life. I was going to therapy. I was having a little healing girl season. There's no shame in that either. Like, I still have healing girl moments all the time. But moving on a little bit, in New York, I was having a little up and up. We were doing good. But then I hit a little low again. I started to struggle a lot with social anxiety, to the point where I struggled to go into group settings. I went to a concert and had to Uber myself home because I just couldn't even handle it anymore. It was so, social anxiety is so strange. It's so strange. I could not be around a lot of people. I would have cry sessions, panic attacks on the floor all the time, but I was still like pressing into God, because this is where it gets different. This is where the turning point happens in my story. Even though I was having these just breakdowns, I had a relationship with the Lord. So it was no longer, okay, I'm in this all by myself, I'm in this alone. I started to invite the Lord into these struggles.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
John and I end up moving out of New York City. We moved to Florida. We were nomadic for a month. We had a little just break our lease moment. We need to get out of here. Let's flee. Let's leave the city. We had one of those moments, a little whatever, quarter life crisis. I don't know. Anyways, ended up in Florida after it all. And we find this church that is just incredible. It is Holy Spirit meets the Word. Kind of church. Very, very, it's a lot of charismatic kind of stuff, but it's so scriptural and it is incredible. The second week we go there, I'm prayed over for healing of this anxiety and depression that it was genetic for me, it was chronic for me, and I was prayed over for it. I felt something just leave my brain, my mind, my head, just release this heaviness, released. I was delivered from it. And that day is a turning point for me because this joy that I experienced, this newfound freedom, it was unlike anything I'd had in so, so long, if ever. And that's the moment when I realized that the Lord could heal me from things and the Lord did care about me. And from there, I just started this long process of healing, of working on healing, of experiencing deliverance in so many different areas of my life. I stopped taking Adderall. I don't know when that was. I think it was when maybe in New York, but I stopped taking Adderall. I was working a lot on, well, obviously healing my relationship with just alcohol, all these different things. And I just dove headfirst into my relationship with Jesus, honestly. John and I ended up feeling really convicted about sex. And we've talked a little bit about it on the podcast. If you guys want to hear more about our journey with that, please let me know. It is definitely one of those topics where I feel like it's such a controversy, but I'm really thankful that we did it. We ended up, I felt the Lord telling me, hey, you guys need to stop having sex. We were living together at the time while we were dating. It was really, really hard, but I listened to the Lord in that. We ended up getting engaged in March of 2023. And then we got married like 1 month later. We were just like, let's get married. Like, we know we're right, the people for each other. Got married on the beach, little small elopement wedding with just our parents. And then ended up from there entering a whole new season. And I feel like, wow, my testimony is really long. But from that season, I mean, marriage, being married, it's a whole new ballgame. Learning how to communicate with each other, learning how to heal our past traumas, our past issues, so that we don't bring them into the marriage. Because when you get married, things don't just go away overnight. Healing my relationship around sex, healing my relationship, and this is something that I want to record an episode on, is sex in marriage. Like, for so long, I was like, oh, I can't have sex because I'm not married, whatever, all this stuff. And before that, my relationship with sex was horrible. I literally did not know what sex, loving marital sex was, genuinely. I thought it was like rough, really intense, really painful, all this stuff. I did not know what it was. And I had to work on, and I'm still working on healing that relationship with it. and seeing it how God designed it to be. And then also, I mean, we had to adapt to just, like, we realized we had a bit of an unhealthy relationship and codependency. So I lived a lot in victimhood. I acted like I was a victim. I thought everything was happening to me when I didn't just stand up and be like, okay, I've made decisions that weren't great for me, and like just owned up to things. So I was living in victimhood. We had the victimizer cycle going on in our relationship. We ended up taking a class at our church called Inner Healing. It is incredible. I don't know if they offer it anywhere, but it's just, if you ever have Inner Healing at your church, it is so good and so beautiful. Ended up just having so much healing around different things in my life, all the things I just shared with you, and more things that needed a lot of healing around them. Breaking down lies, breaking down things I was believing that were causing strongholds in my life, and going through deliverance, experiencing freedom from generational things. And honestly, like, it has been just the past year, I have never felt so close to the Lord before. Just hearing his voice and like getting rid of all the junk that was clouding out his voice in my life. And if you're like, Kelly, what are you talking about? I can do a whole episode on all this stuff, because I know I'm kind of like, ooh, like talking really fast. But but anyways, a lot of freedom and healing has happened in this past year. And it has not been easy. It has taken work. It has taken journal sessions, asking the Lord to guide me in those journal sessions. It's taken conversations. It's taken forgiving myself, forgiving the Lord. Really, really forgiving the Lord. I didn't realize I was so angry at God for so many years of my life. And that anger started at such a young age of, honestly, in high school. That's when I started getting anger and bitterness towards God, blaming him for things the enemy was telling me. There were lies. I had to forgive the church. I forgave the people in my life that maybe said things that pulled me away from God and caused me to have a skewed relationship with God. I broke out of the spirit of religion. I had to get rid of that and see that God is, he wants us to have a relationship with us. Yes, it's called religion. It's ultimately a relationship with God. We don't have to live our lives perfectly in order for him to love us and to have him want to be close to us. And I'm going to read scripture right now over you guys that I thought of before I even recorded this. And this goes into Easter and him dying on the cross. This is Ephesians 2:4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. And so we've been saved. And I'm moving down to verse 8. God saved us by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I just thought this scripture was beautiful because I've gone over my past, and honestly, I left out so much, so, so much that I could have shared. I mean, I left out a whole chunk about how I used to cheat on people. Oh, I was a cheater for a while, and the Lord redeemed me from that. Like, he's completely redeemed me from my past. This, all the stuff that old Callie used to do, God doesn't remember that stuff. Once I repent of it, once I'm like, God, I'm sorry this happened, he forgets. He moves on. He's like, we're not going to dwell on who you were, Callie. We're going to move forward together in who I've called you to be. And that is where it's been so freeing. Like, even this past year, I left a chunk of my testimony. I experienced a miscarriage, and it was devastating, truly devastating, like so painful and so sad. And in this time, I wanted to go back to the old self. I wanted to grieve in the ways I used to grieve. But I was at a crossroads. I could either follow the world and follow what I used to do, or I could follow the comfort that God promises and grieve with Jesus and not grieve by myself and press into him instead of run away and blame everything on him. Miscarriage won't make sense. Like, it genuinely, I don't have answers for it. But What I will say is that God is the God of life. He's not the God of death. I don't know what causes miscarriage, but God is, he's our father and he wants the best for us. And I don't believe he caused it. So it's just in those hard times, it's just pressing to him instead of running away and blaming him. When times are hard, the enemy wants to pull us away from God. The enemy wants us to think that God did it. But yes, God will discipline us, but he also loves us. And so he's not going to harm us in the process. So that being said, if you're listening to this and you're just like, I feel like I'm in this dark place right now in my life. I don't even feel like I know God. I don't even know. Like, I just invite you right now to close your eyes or keep them open. Honestly, you can talk to God anytime and just be like, hey, God, it's me. I want a relationship with you, God. Like, I desire this. I desire the freedom you promised me. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the stuff I've done. I'm sorry for the place I'm walking in right now, Lord. But I prayed, forgive me. And I just invite you into my heart right now, Jesus. And invite him in. Welcome him. Be like, hey, I want this relationship with you. That is all you have to do to start it out. And then from there, just leaning on him, asking him every day, God, what do you want to tell me? God, how can we hang out today? And just going places where you experience him. If you feel the Lord in nature, going there. If you feel the Lord in your closet, go in your closet. If you feel the Lord talking to a friend or reading a devotional in the morning, like, God speaks to us in different ways. And I have podcast episodes on hearing God's voice that I think are really helpful if you are wanting to hear his voice better. So definitely recommend listening to those as well. And if you listen to this episode, and I elected a little chunk of this, but going back to the body image stuff, I found that I have helped the body image struggles have really gotten better when I continuously fix my thoughts on God and like speak out loud what he says about me. I am a masterpiece. I am created beautiful and wonderful in God's image. I am more precious than rubies and worth more than gold. Like, I taped those affirmations on my mirror because body image, especially as a woman, can be a constant mind battle. And that's the thing. Like, when you are walking with Jesus, it doesn't mean all these things just poof, go away. We get to overcome them every single day, but we don't have to do it alone. We get to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is like God's messenger. That's how God speaks to us, is through the Holy Spirit. So when we feel something in the Lord's voice and the Holy Spirit, God is directly speaking to us and he wants to talk to every single one of you listening. So that has definitely been helpful in navigating my just like body image and confidence and identity too, is placing my identity in who God says I am, not in who the world says that I am. The world says that bases our identity based on what we do, how we perform, how much money we have, who we're dating, all these different things. But Jesus puts our identity, he sees us as his creations. He sees us as, this is my creation. This is my worthy creation who I have loved and known before I even put this person on this earth. So nothing we do, nothing we say is going to change how Jesus sees us. He sees through all of our mess. He sees through everything we're doing because he deeply knows us and he loves us. And no matter if you feel like you are, let's say you're having sex before marriage and you're like, oh, I just feel guilty for this because the church makes me feel bad about it, all this stuff. Listen, that's between you and God. That's not between you and anyone else. And he still loves you. He still loves you. I got really angry earlier today and I realized God still loves me. Yes, I messed up. Yes, this isn't great, but he still loves me. And if you're feeling conviction about something, seriously, take it up to the Lord. When I felt convicted about sex, I was like, God, I don't get it. Sex feels great. Why is it so bad? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and he showed me, he explained it to me because he loves us and he doesn't want to just be like, just taking things out of our life and just, like, he loves us. That's the point I'm trying to make. But anyways, I hope this episode helped you. If you have any questions at all, I am a resource for you. I'm here for you. DM me on Instagram at healthybuthumanpod. I also have a group chat where we have a weekly virtual Bible study. It is the Geneva group chat. I'll link it below. You can also message me on there. We have a great supportive community of other people who are walking in their faith journey. Maybe they're a little new to it or they've been in it for a while. This is a great safe space where you can ask anything. Anyways, I just hope this testimony helps you. I pray that it blesses and inspires and touches the right people who need to hear it. You are deeply loved no matter what your past looks like. You are deeply loved no matter what your present moment looks like. Know that God, He chose you. He chose you, and you don't have to earn His love or grace. So that being said, I just encourage you to just keep being amazing. And I hope you have a great Easter weekend. I will see you next week. Keep being amazing, keep shining, and stay healthy, be human. Bye, my gorgeous queen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.